Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to the very first edition of Jump Ball, brought to you by Ballers of TO. There is many, many people who had gotten us to this point, to this stage. First off, I'd like to thank Barn Burner as well as K Buena Radio for having me and allowing me to share the space with them. So I also want to say Happy Thanksgiving. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I wore pants that are like two sizes too big today because although I don't eat meat, there was a lot of mashed potatoes that were handed out this weekend that I did not say no to. I mean, how could I? It's Thanksgiving. So Happy Thanksgiving. I hope everyone had a nice and safe weekend. On the line with us today, I have Joseph Pasek of Barn Burner, who is going to be my imaginary co-host right here. He's going to be right there. And Joe, say what's up to everybody.
What's up, everyone? It's a pleasure to be on the first edition of Jump Ball with the queen of basketball here in Toronto, Veronica Harris. Veronica, you are long overdue hosting a show. Show the world why I call you the queen of basketball. And of course, Veronica, don't forget to mention Ballers of TO.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And we're going to touch on Ballers of TO a little bit later in the show, just to kind of tell you guys what it's about and what's going to be coming up in the 2020 season. But Joe, I do want to get started on basketball. I do want to start there because, I mean, how could I not after that intro from you? And secondly, the Washington Mystics absolutely they're still on fire. To everyone who doesn't know, they had won the 2019 WNBA championship last week, and it was an absolutely amazing series. You guys think that the Cavs and Golden State saga was good? This Connecticut Sun versus the Washington Mystics saga was, honestly, it was up there. And I really do encourage everybody to start watching the WNBA. It is not, I mean, I could talk about this, and I get very passionate about it because you see on the internet and you see, you know, like, oh, we get to see a G League team play or a WNBA team. All of us are going to the G League. And granted, it's nice to see these men jump, and they do have fantastic talent, but do not cut these women short. These women are, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but they are hella talented, and they have so much passion and so much drive. It's kind of like seeing the college players. You know, Joe, like, NBA players, they try, but they're kind of set in their ways a little bit, right? They're not, probably not going to get fired. Or, you know, let go or have a contract less than $1 million per season. But these women, they have something to fight for and they have something to prove. And especially the Washington Mystics, because they got swept last year in the finals. They were against Seattle. And I'm not sure if you guys know this, but WNBA, it's best of five, not best of seven. So it was a hard fought series. But Washington, they took it. They didn't sweep. They didn't get that redemption, but they took it 3-1, and it's, 3-2, and it was phenomenal. And shout out to Elena Deladon, she was the league's MVP, but Emma Mieseman, and Joe, I will let you touch on this a little bit. Emma Mieseman, she is a Belgian player, and she has, her score list is absolutely fantastic. Like, I mean, the awards she's gotten and how hard. She was FIBA's Young Player of the Year in 2011. So, and that was her first year in the league, which is absolutely phenomenal. So she got the championship MVP, which I think is so well deserved. And I'm looking at a photo of them now, and I see them crying, I see them celebrating. Elena Deladon, she said, "I don't really drink champagne, but I drank so much when we won." So Joe, what are your thoughts on, one, you know, Washington winning this series this year, and two, just WNBA as a whole?
Well, the WNBA, let's face it, it's people, the NBA, you get slam dunks, you get close games, you get three-pointers, but WNBA is what truly basketball is all about. Forget about it's ladies playing against ladies and people watch the slam dunks or whatever, but when you watch a sport, because this is a sport, they can dunk, they can control the ball, they can dribble, they can do everything, and the games are fairly close. You in an NBA game, there's 10, 12 games a night. How many games are actually nail biters?
Mm-hmm.
In the WNBA, I would say 60 to 70% of the games are always nail biters.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, looking at the scores now, they're all within. I mean, there are a couple blowouts in the finals, but for the most part, they're all within about 10, 15 points. And I mean, considering we all know the NBA, we all know everyone likes to score and you like to show off, and I get it, but like I said before, like, these women got something to prove, and I just want to give a huge shout out to Washington. And and next year, I do have a feeling there will be a lot more viewers than there were this year. I think this year had made a big stand, and everyone's gonna be stepping up. Joe,
and let's hope Toronto, there was talk a couple of months ago that Toronto's gonna get making a bid to get a WNBA team for 2020, maybe 2021. Mm-hmm. I think with ladies like you who personify basketball, ladies and men, and former player, and we got a lot of ladies who watch, let's say, the Raptors, and then they say, well, the Raptors could do it, we can do it.
Exactly.
I prefer the ladies' game over the men's game, believe it or not, because they work. They work, they hustle, they could slam dunk. There's not the chattering back and forth. When you go to an NBA game, mm-hmm. Even Lowry does this. You know this, Veronica. Lowry does this at least 3 times a game, complaining about the referee.
Oh, of course.
When do you see in the WNBA ladies complain about the referees? Even if the referees missed a call, let's say, or missed 2 calls, mm-hmm. they're not really complaining.
No.
When you watch the WNBA, this is what sports and basketball is supposed to be all about.
Yeah, partially as to why I get so upset watching NBA games recently is these men, they're playing the refs. They're not playing the ball. And that's when I come in this argument where people say, well, it was a lot tougher when MJ was playing. And a little bit, we've all seen LeBron get, swatted by air and fall back 20 feet. And I know I'm going to have a lot of angry people, including Andrew from Locker Room Talk, getting upset with me when I say this, but we can't have that. That's not basketball. And if that's what basketball has become, I don't know, man. I don't know if I like it as much. But speaking of LeBron, and Joe, I do want to talk about the refs. We're going to switch sports later in the show about football, last night's game, Green Bay against Detroit. But let's stick with basketball for a minute. LeBron. LeBron was caught in an interview yesterday talking about Daryl Morey, who, those of you who don't know, he is the Houston Rockets GM. And he had commented on the whole Hong Kong protest in China debacle? Do you call it debacle? The whole situation. And what he had tweeted was, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. People didn't like that, and we won't get too political on this show, not yet at least. Maybe we'll wait for a few shows to get political. But I get it. I get that, you're in the public eye. Everyone who's in the public eye, you need to watch what you're saying. And it's tricky because there is freedom of speech, and you should be able to voice your opinion. But then again, there are consequences. And LeBron, what he had said yesterday was, it's a situation that belongs behind closed doors. We have freedom of speech, but like I just said, there are consequences. And Daryl Morey's tweet is very misinformed, and he believes uneducated. So what do you think of LeBron, Joe, speaking, he's speaking his opinion, and there's going to be people out there who don't like that, but why do you think he felt so strongly about Daryl Morey's tweet?
Well, first of all, LeBron James, let's equate this. When LeBron James talks, it's like when Donald Trump or Trudeau talks.
Uh-oh.
Everybody's listening Uh-oh. And hanging on to his every word.
Yes.
If this was a real, and it is a big issue,
mm-hmm.
why did it take him so long to speak up about it? That's number
right.
one. Okay? Number two is, what did he actually say? Okay? Because I have no idea. If you're going to make a stand, mm-hmm. and LeBron has been, he doesn't say a lot, but when he does talk, it resonates throughout sports, throughout entertainment, throughout the news. But what did he say here? I still don't know what LeBron was saying, and a lot of people look up to LeBron and look up, okay, what's LeBron going to say? LeBron has to say something here because this he has
a role
printed
model.
On his shoes. Mm. He has this. But what did he actually say? I think he made it even worse for him.
Oh.
So, like, LeBron James is held, no matter what, right now. You're going to fight with whoever's the best basketball player right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it's LeBron James, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If he's not number one, he's number two.
Right.
But when LeBron James talks, it's like when Wayne Gretzky talked in hockey, people listen. But you have to come out with something saying, okay, we're going to support this. We're not going to support this. Here's the reason why, or here's the reason why we're going to support it. What did LeBron say? That is my question. Because I don't even think he said anything. So why say something then?
I mean, I guess I, from what I understood was he was just voicing his opinion because in the, like, I know what you're saying. You don't understood what he said. And to be honest with you, all I got from that post-game interview was he thought it was an uneducated, misinformed tweet and your actions have consequences, which are true. Which are true. I mean, Daryl Morey, he did apologize, saying, look, guys, I'm sorry. I understand what's going on now. I have better understanding. I was informed by other people, the ins and outs of actually what's happening. And I get it. I would be very upset if I weren't able to speak my opinion. I just think maybe there was, one, a better delivery, or two, I mean, Houston's biggest market is China. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, 100%. Remember, Yao Ming played there for a long time also.
Right, so he is a huge reason as to why NBA has a huge market in China.
And even, I don't know if you, sorry for cutting you off, but here's something that just came across the wall a couple hours ago. Hong Kong protesters burning LeBron James jerseys.
Oh, wow.
So, and people are saying that LeBron James dropped the ball on his criticism of Morey.
Oh, interesting. So they're saying it should have been a little more tough?
Well, again, they don't know what he actually said. Did he agree with Morey? Did he not agree? He took a stance, and I'm sorry I'm going to say this, like Trump. Nobody knows what Trump is doing.
Oh my
Nobody
gosh.
Knows
We're
going to
have a Trump
LeBron
segment
did.
Soon, guys. We're going to have a Trump segment for sure. Just to get everyone's nightly laughs in, that's all.
So it's, again, it's sometimes LeBron James, no matter what, he's known as the leader of the NBA world. People look up to him, kids look up to him, his teammates look up to him, and when, you know, you're the circle of NBA, he should have came out, his agent or whatever, with a prepared speech. It was 10 days since Morey made those comments.
Mm-hmm.
Be it right or wrong, 10 days. It's far too often or far too long to say, okay, here's what I think.
Right.
Because LeBron, like they said, he dropped the ball here. First of all, 10 days is way too long. Second of all, nobody knows what he actually said. Third of all, people are now disappointed in LeBron James.
He didn't say something strong enough.
So, again, and I can say this with all honesty, Veronica, you have watched basketball a long time also.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, if this happened with Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan would not drop the ball.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm equating Michael Jordan with LeBron James because, you know, best player.
Right.
Michael Jordan would not drop the ball. And Michael Jordan, if something had to be said, he would say it a day or two later, not 2 weeks later. And nobody knows what you said.
Right. So what we're gonna do here for next week's show is we're gonna get to the bottom of this. We're gonna tweet at LeBron. We're gonna try and get something a little bit more stiff on his opinion. But Joe, I want to stay within the Chinese region, the Chinese talk. Jeremy Lin, he had dropped 40.6 rebounds in his Chinese Basketball Association debut. Is that a fluke? Has this Lin's sanity always been in the NBA and he just decided to bring it out in the beginning of his career and at the end? Or is this...
Well, it's hard to say about Jeremy Lin because, let's face it, he's an NBA champion right now.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if he plays 1 minute or 101 minutes, he is an NBA champion.
Yep.
So, like he said, using LeBron James, I'm going to take my talents to Miami.
Right.
He took his talents back home.
Yep.
I shouldn't say LeBron, maybe I should say Kawhi. He took his talents back home. So he is now an NBA champion. He's probably getting paid a lot. Mm-hmm. And now he's back home. So now he doesn't have the pressure of the stage, of cameras, he's back home. He's going to have a tremendous year. I'm not saying he's going to score 40 points every game.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say 15 to 20 points is not unreasonable for Jeremy Lin to see. Because Jeremy Lin, when given the playing time and when motivated, he was an above average point guard.
Do you remember that time he waved Kobe off and he took the game winning shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was an above average point guard when given the time, and when, let's face it, LA, New York, and all, he has played in markets that the spotlight will always be, like Toronto, okay? No matter what they say, you're the only Canadian team.
Yeah.
So the spotlight is on you constantly. You may not be on ESPN or Fox, but you're still here. And Jeremy Lin, when was called upon the 2, 3, 5, 10 games, he tried his best. He had, and let's face it, if Jeremy Lin was playing with the Raptors last year, he was playing with not the first string, not the second string, the third string players.
Yeah.
So if you're going to play with a third string player, how many points are you going to have?
Right. Right. That's a good point. We're going to take a little break here, guys. Thank you guys again so much for listening. We are going to jump right back into basketball, but I just need to take a little break, regroup, and we will be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. We just had a quick break there. We're going to jump back into basketball, but we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to come home. Home, I mean Toronto. Home, I mean the reigning NBA champs. Home, I mean Scotiabank Arena. The Toronto Raptors and the league kicks off October 22nd, which is actually a week from today, Joe. And Toronto will be hosting the New Orleans Pelicans. And oh, man, I've had some fun watching this guy, Zion Williamson, play. And there was hype, obviously, with him coming in the league. He did very well at Duke. They didn't go very far in March Madness, but that's okay. Oops, pardon me. That is A-okay. Joe, let's talk about Zion, and let's talk about how much of a problem he is going to be for these Toronto Raptors. And is he going to deter these reigning champs from starting off the season 1-0?
So let me ask you this. Is Zion the odds-on favorite to win the Rookie of the Year?
Him or Ja Morant, 100%.
Okay, so, and you saw what he does. He's a big body and block shots or whatever. So, as a Raptor, can Marc Gasol do the job?
No.
Are you gonna put Pascal Siakam on him?
Which is a good point, because, I mean, yeah, Siakam could. I mean, him or, I don't know who you would put on. There's only two people you could put on Zion Williamson on from the Toronto Raptors. You either put Ibaka, you do a switch, or you put Siakam, who was last year's most improved player. But no one, I don't think anyone else on the team is that athletic and able to move that quickly and that powerfully, other than those two players.
The key to Zion, and New Orleans is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to win, like you said, the Rookie of the Year there, but can he stay healthy for the entire 82-game season? Because, let's face it, when he attacks the rack, he attacks the rack. There's no layups with him. Even when he should do layups, he reminds me of Shaq when Shaq was starting out. He destroys the rim. So, Raptors and anybody in the NBA this season is going to have problems with him specifically. New Orleans, they're going to do better. I don't know if they're a playoff team, but they're going to do better. But the key thing is, here's what nobody's talking about. Next Tuesday at the Scotiabank Arena, it's like you said, the home opener. The Raptors will unveil the championship banner. They will get the rings. I should get a ring, but anyways.
We should both
they will
get
the rings. Now, if New Orleans wants to win this game, they come out with fire and maybe lead for the first break or whatever, 16-4. If that happens, the Raptors are going to lose.
Yep.
If the Raptors can take the momentum that the crowd, and you know, they're going to plan something special, because it's not even, you know, it's the unveiling of the, you know, the flag down there and everything like that, the rings, but it's also the 25th year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to plan something different. Maybe they're wearing their old school jerseys and everything like
that. Oh,
that'd
be great.
So the Raptors got to maintain momentum in the first 5-6 minutes, because that 5-6 minutes can either win you the game or lose you the game. Trust me when I say that, because the Raptors notoriously, up until last year, start slow. Games start slow.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Zion attacking the rack.
And not to mention,
I don't know.
Not to mention, I mean, Zion, he is, as you have said, Joe, phenomenal in the paint. And as of now, I believe he's played 3 games so far in the preseason. He's been averaging 23.3 points per game and shooting 71%. He is shooting beyond the arc. I saw it a couple times. And if he can develop that shot, and I would love to point this out at this point, Zion has made more threes in his preseason than Ben Simmons ever has. I just want to point that out. But yeah, he is very capable of shooting beyond the arc and being a all-around player. So, and defensively, I think he's good, but I think he's got to work on it a little bit. But yeah, like you said, Joe, if the Pelicans come out strong, Lonzo stays smart and he does his job as a point guard, they are going to be very dangerous. And Brendan Ingram, if he puts on any weight, Pelicans are going to be very, very tricky to beat. And yeah, I'm not worried for Tuesday, but I'm very interested come Tuesday to see what happens. So,
well, for me, the bigger game actually
mm-hmm.
is Friday when they play in Boston, because you know Boston wants to show the Raptors up. Let's put it that way, okay?
Yeah.
They want to show them up. The defending champions are coming. Home opener for Boston. They're coming into town. We gotta, and that's the big test for me. Because you're playing at home, and like I said, 25th anniversary, the banner going down, rings and all that, you have momentum on your side. They should honestly beat New Orleans that first game.
Of course.
The second game is the question for me, because they play the first of a back-to-back, Friday in Boston, Saturday against Chicago. I know it's preseason, but Chicago beat the Raptors on Sunday
by
20 points.
They did. That was, and I mean, considering Toronto beat Houston, that was very interesting. Everyone thought, wow, they're carrying this momentum, they're doing very well, but now everyone I think is back to ground zero, like, okay, they lost to Chicago.
Yep.
And
just looking at the schedule here, they play Orlando, coming back off Chicago, they come back home to play Orlando, and you know Orlando's going to be hyped up because the Raptors beat Orlando in the first round. But then they play Dwayne Casey here on the Wednesday, and they close out the following week on Saturday, November 2nd in Milwaukee. So,
ooh, that's tough.
You know, like this game, these games are very, very tough.
Mm-hmm.
So can the Raptors, if they have a bad week, their season may be done? Because New Orleans, I'm going to say they're going to win, but it's going to be very hard. Boston, probably a loss. Chicago, I don't know. Orlando, at home, they should win, but you don't know. Dwayne Casey, when he played these two games here at the Scotiabank Arena last year, Detroit beat the Raptors.
I think Detroit is going to surprise a lot of people this year. A lot. I think Casey, Griffin, and Rose, I think they're going to team up, and they're going to, they're going to make people sweat.
Yeah, and of course, Milwaukee wants to, you know,
mm-hmm.
do a number on the Raptors. And then,
of course,
you think it gets easier, the Raptors play here against Sacramento, and then go to New Orleans, go to Lakers, and go to the Clippers on Remembrance Day. Clippers on Remembrance Day. I think the Raptors will remember, or some number two will remember the Raptors.
I think so. Speaking of number two, is he getting a trophy? Is he getting a statue? Is he getting, what is this man getting? The key to the city?
Well, he got the key to the city. I think they're going to honor him with something. I know he's going to get his ring on December 11th when the Clippers are in Toronto. I think they're going to honor him with something. I don't know if they're going to give him a statue.
Retire the number?
I don't know. Maybe I'll ask you about this, or ask maybe the fans, anybody wants to call in, mm-hmm. because he played 1 year here.
Yeah.
Okay? And yes, he got them to the promised land. Okay?
Yes.
He got them they haven't retired any number. They haven't retired Vince Carter. Our good friend Tracy Murray has come back. He was one of the leading scorers in Raptors 3-point history and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't retired a number. It's the 25th year.
Yep.
Will they retire
the year.
A number or a couple numbers this year? That's the interesting thing. What do you think? Based on he brought him the championship,
mm-hmm.
okay, do they retire his number, or should they retire his number, or give him a... Would you want better, let me ask you, is it better if they retire his number or give him a statue?
You know, I think retiring his number is, guys, let's face it. The Toronto Raptors, the supporting squad, did very well. But if we all remember that game a game against Philly in Toronto, if it weren't for Kawhi, we would not be here. We would not be hoisting up that trophy. We would not be getting, but the Toronto Raptors would not be getting these rings. The city wouldn't have... You know what I mean? The city would have been a lot quieter come early May, maybe. I don't know. But all I know is he deserves something because he did put his sweat and tears into this, and I don't think it should go unnoticed. I mean...
Well, also the Raptors deserve something too because they took a chance, like, let's give it all to Masai Ujiri.
Oh, 100%. He deserves...
I know this is called jump ball, okay?
Yeah.
But he showed his jump balls, okay, by doing that trade. He knew there could be a chance that could be one and done.
Yeah.
He also knew that there was no guarantee that they would win a title because he was coming off a big-time injury. Load management, this and that,
yeah.
and stuff like that. And when it came down to the playoffs, who was playing 45 minutes a game was him. Lowry was great and all that. But
mm-hmm.
if they didn't have Kawhi Leonard, that's the difference, okay? Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it.
Right.
The Raptors won the championship because they had the best player in basketball on their team.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. LeBron James, I don't care. Nobody was better than Kawhi last season.
And I would just
nobody.
I agree, Joe. And I just want to say to everyone out there. You know, you still hear. I was watching Rachel Nichols today, and she had Matt Barnes on, and Matt Barnes I don't know if he's the god, but he is the only player to ever play on every single California NBA team. You got Sacramento, you have Golden State, you have Clippers, you have Lakers, just those four, right? Yeah, so he is the only player ever, little fun fact, to ever play on all four of those teams. But he said, you want to know what? If Kevin Durant, if he didn't get hurt, they would have taken it. If Clay didn't get hurt, they would have taken it. So I just want everyone to stop all this if. Of course, if. There's always an if. I mean, if Michael Jordan would still play today, LeBron wouldn't be the best. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the if doesn't matter. So I just want to... Give it to the Raptors. They deserve it.
Let's face it. The honest truth is, okay, in your wildest dreams,
mm-hmm.
like, let's rewind the tape back to what day is today? October 15th, 2018. They got Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
If I told you last year at this time, the Raptors would win the title by beating Golden State,
yeah.
doesn't matter who was injured or whatever,
no.
you would tell me, Joe, are you drunk?
Yep.
Even with Kawhi, you wouldn't say, I'll be happy if they win one round, two round, maybe even get to the finals. But look, when they got to the finals and you knew that they're playing Golden State,
mm-hmm.
how many people thought we thought in Toronto because we're, you know, biased that Raptors are going to win the title and all that, right?
Right.
But how many people actually thought the Raptors are getting to the final, play Golden State, and that they have a chance?
Joe, I swear people still don't even believe the Raptors won it.
Exactly. And second of all, you say if, okay?
Yep.
So, as far as I know, okay, game one, Raptors took it, and Golden State was healthy. Okay? I know they didn't have Durant or whatever, but they were healthy. They lost that. Okay? The Raptors, throughout the season, beat Golden State in Golden State.
Yeah.
How many people can say that in the last 6 years, where Golden State has been amazing, that every time they went into the Oracle Arena, they defeated the Golden State Warriors?
Yep.
It doesn't matter who was injured and who was not, because I believe one game this season, Kawhi was load management. He did not play, and the Raptors still won.
No, I remember that very clearly. Yeah. And now I think that's a turning point for everyone. They're like, oh my gosh, wow, they could really do this.
Yeah. And let's face it, you know, everybody talks about Kawhi, and yeah, that was a great trade.
Mm-hmm.
But don't forget, at the trade deadline, again, Musai showed what he's all about by trading Jonas Valanciunas, who arguably
in the East
was probably the best big man other than Joel Embiid. You know, he traded for Marc Gasol when people said, oh, wow, defensive player, Marc Gasol, but he's logging the tooth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's basically... We got to hand it to Masai Ujiri. Not met too many people are talking about that to this day. That he, everything that, you know, he traded DeMar, he took heat, he was going to trade Kyle Lowry a few years ago to the Knicks, and Knicks said no or whatever. But everything he touched last year turned into gold for once. And it doesn't hurt that Pascal moved up.
No.
Now Pascal's got, we're relying on Pascal to be not only an all-star, a superstar.
Oh, and that... Of course. I was just going to say, and that he will. And speaking of superstars, Joe, let's segue into someone who I believe is not a superstar at all anyway. Guys, after this, we're going to be taking a quick break. We're going to jump into another sport. We'll talk a little bit of baseball, a little bit of football. But I do want to end on this. DeMarcus Boogie Cousins, who I call Boogerhead, because I do not like... not my kind of person is what I'm going to leave it at. So I saw him on the bench when the Lakers played on Sunday, and he was looking happy, he was looking chill, he was looking comfortable. I don't know if he's forgotten, guys, but I haven't forgotten that he had an arrest warrant. The officers were out to get him, and that they did get him, and it was all because of he was sending threats to his ex, saying, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to kill you, oh, pardon me, if you don't let my son come to my wedding with my new partner. And that leaked, and everyone heard it, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that. What is going on? And then they just forgot about it. And I have a big issue with this, because I think domestic violence, domestic abuse is something that goes unnoticed, or people just brush it off a little bit too easy. Now, eventually... he was charged with a Class A misdemeanor, which means he would face max, everybody, 1 year in jail, which I don't think that's enough, because there's way too many times too often that people do this and they get a slap on the wrist like Cousins did, and they're back at it again. So, and I know, Joe, this does happen a lot in football. There are stats out there, domestic violence, it happens quite a bit in football, whether it be, I'm not quite sure why, it's so popular in football, but it is. And it kind of seems it's becoming more popular in more and more sports. So do you think that that professional athletes, they need to be held more accountable for what they say? Granted, he didn't do anything that we know of, but he did threaten. And Boogie Cousins is just one example of this. So what are your thoughts on maybe giving a little bit more of a slap on the wrist? More than a slap on the wrist.
But here's the whole thing, and you know it, Veronica. If you're an athlete, you're treated differently.
Oh, of course.
than me and you. Mm-hmm. That, unfortunately, that is the case. Okay? No matter what, be it because they're rich, be it because they're famous, be it because whatever, why are they treated differently? Right. They did something wrong. They should pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if your name's DeMarcus Cousin or Jimmy Uncle.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. But again, because they're an athlete, because they're a superstar, they get slapped on the wrist.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's, I don't know what to say, because that doesn't, it will never change. Like you saw, you said it, in football, there's football players beating up, punching, kicking, punching their girlfriends, wives, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what? What happens? He still makes $6 million a year.
Yeah. So I think that's something, I think it's a little bit taboo. And this is going to be something that we're not going to stress about it too much, because I understand sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable. But in order to make things normal and not be taboo, we kind of have to go through that uncomfortability. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go with this yet, but I really do want to draw attention to you know, paint a little bit more respect to this situation and talking more about it. But, Joe, we're going to take that break right now. We are going to, you go get a glass of water. We're going to finish off with football and baseball, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. We're gonna jump. We're gonna jump a little bit, and we're gonna head right into football. Last night, Thanksgiving Monday, and I'm not gonna lie, I got a little bit confused. I was thinking, obviously, I know I'm in Canada, but I was thinking it was American Thanksgiving, where they play football from what seems like 9 a.m. to midnight. But that wasn't the case. So I spent all day yesterday waiting for this Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers game. It was a really good game. It was. And Detroit was actually up. Up until, what would you say, Joe? The last
32 seconds.
That was it. And why? I mean, it was definitely because Green Bay, they showed up late, but they did show up. But it was also, Green Bay had a few extra players on their team. And those players were the Zebras on the field with them. I think that A lot of people had issues with the refereeing last night in the game. And yeah, like you said, Joe, the past 32 seconds or so, it was bad. Will Brinson on Twitter said, honestly, one of the more obvious pass interference calls you will ever see, and they didn't come even close to consider a flag. And this was something that everybody was thinking. The call was unfortunately pushed onto Lions pass rusher Trey Flowers, which wasn't true at all. And I do suggest everyone goes and watch the highlights of last night's game. Green Bay took it 23-22. Joe, what do you think about, and this happens in the NBA as well, what do you think about these referees and these, what I think, bogus calls that are game-deciding bogus calls?
Well, in the NFL, it's very, very concerning, especially this year. This is not the first time this year that this has happened. This is probably, we're in week six, and has happened once a week, and for the NFL, let's face it, we talk about the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, but NFL, everybody's glued.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 16 games a week. Everybody is glued,
yep.
And if you make a horrible call, that's, you know, your average horrible call once a season, twice a season, not every week there's a horrible call.
Yeah.
The NFL has to take a look, because these referees, and Veronica, maybe you don't know this, these referees, they're not referees and that's it. They are lawyers, dentists, doctors, accountants.
Ah, I did not
they
know
are
that.
In their 70s, 80s referees.
Okay.
When are you going to get referees that are 45, 50, you know,
yep.
who have 20-year span watching it? You know, like, referees, it's a hard job, because now with the NFL, you don't know what's a late hit, You don't know what's a flag. You don't know what's pass interference. You don't know what's holding. Because, like you mentioned, Flowers was called for holding.
Yeah, but twice. Twice.
Was the one being held.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And so what we're going to do, Joe, is we're going to start a petition. And we're going to start scoping out these CFL referees and see if they're making better calls than these NFL referees. But we're running out of time, guys. Time flies, obviously, when you're having fun. I do, Joe, want to touch on quickly your prediction on who is going to win the World Series this year.
Well, it looks like, Washington is going. Washington, this hits home because we're both Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Washington is Montreal Expos, okay? No matter what,
fun fact.
Montreal Florida about 20 years ago or whatever, but then they moved to Washington. Washington is Montreal Expos. But I believe the winner between Houston and the Yankees in Houston on today's game will win the World Series.
Okay.
But Washington has something magical there.
Okay.
You know, they get over the hump and they meet, you know, winning round one. And then they're sweeping St. Louis and going in while Houston and the Yankees, it's still going to be a war, so they're going to be rested for the World Series and all that, but I still believe Houston should take it, but watch out for Washington, because, you know, this, we talked about it with the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
There's something magical happening with the Washington Nationals.
That's right.
But Veronica, I want to touch on, as we close this jump ball edition, I got to touch on one of the biggest stories in soccer, Canadian soccer history.
Oh, what happened?
Tonight at BMO Field. It was a CONCACAF match, part leg one, leg two on November 15th in Orlando. Canada versus the U.S. Veronica, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the U.S. in soccer better than Canada?
Oh, you guys know that R. Kelly song, My Heart is Telling Me Yes, but My Head is Telling Me No, or vice versa.
You're bringing R. Kelly into this?
Well, I mean, what does he say? My head is telling me yes, but my heart is telling me no. Talk to me, Joe.
All right. Well,
I'm gonna have to
I don't know what my head's telling me, my heart's telling me, but I'm going to tell you this. Team Canada at BMO Field stunned Team USA 2-0 tonight.
Okay.
And USA, they had captain of Toronto FC playing in his home turf. For USA, that's Michael Bradley, 2-0. Again, the second leg will be played in Orlando on November 15th. This is a huge, huge, probably the biggest victory ever for Team Canada tonight at BMO Field, 2-0 over USA.
Well, you want to know what, guys? I think that sounds just as good as a ending to a show as could be. Joe, I honestly want to thank you so much for calling in and joining me on the first ever edition of Jump Ball. Guys, make sure you don't forget to hit me up on Instagram, v.ron006, and on Twitter, vron006. You guys will be catching me, I'll be doing some Facebook Lives with Barn Burner, Joe, why don't you tell everyone how they can get a hold of you?
All right, well, Barn Burner, you know, like, we got Veronica here, who's every Tuesday. I know, Veronica, next week you want to be at the Scotiabank Arena, but you're not going to be. You're going to be in the captain's chair hosting Jump Ball again.
Check out
all our great programming here on GetWhenOutRadio.tv, part of the Barn Burner Network. And don't forget to check out our more than twice daily, even on the weekends, even on Thanksgiving, Christmas, you name it. Fired Up Show, available on 114 platforms. And this Jump Ball went on Tuesday live. You watch it, and then probably Thursday or Friday, we're going to play it on radio,
the Barbara
Radio Network. Veronica, great job, and hopefully continued success every Tuesday night.
You got it, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.